Good morning, Shelbyville's Church, and I'd like to welcome those who are listening on the radio and others who may be on the website watching this morning. We welcome you to the Shelbyville Seventh-day Adventist Church. This morning, I want to speak to you on 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We only read verse 58, but it's kind of on the whole chapter, and I didn't want someone in scripture reading to have to read 58 verses, so we just chose that one. The church at Corinth was plagued with problems, much like a lot of churches are today. There were divisions in the church. Sin was being tolerated. False doctrines were widespread. And strange worldly practices dominated the worship service. Paul wrote the book of Corinthians to address these problems and to bring the Corinthians believers back into line with the orthodox faith and practice. According to verse 12 in chapter 15, some believers in Corinth actually denied the reality of the resurrection. Can you imagine that? A church that Paul had started and preached Jesus Christ, and some of the members actually denied the resurrection. Paul spends the remainder of this great chapter declaring the awesome doctrine of the resurrection and laying a solid foundation for our hope as believers. I want to share with you this morning a story in this big book that I've found such a blessing since I bought it. Someone has said that if you could convince a man there was no hope, he would curse the day he was born. Hope is an indispensable quality of life. Years ago, the S-4 submarine was rammed by another ship and quickly sank. The entire crew was trapped in its prison house of death. Ships rushed to the scene of the disaster off the coast of Massachusetts. We don't know what took place down in the sunken submarine, but we can be sure that the men clung bravely to life as the oxygen slowly began to run out. A diver placed his helmet ear to the side of the vessel and listened. He heard a tapping noise. Someone, he learned, was tapping out a question in the dots and dashes of the Morse code. The question came slowly: is there any hope? This seems to be the cry of humanity. Is there any hope? Hope indeed is the basis of all human existence in Christ. A lot of people over the years have said things about hope. I'm sure you've heard several of them. How about hope springs eternal? You ever heard anyone say that? Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Never give up hope. And where there is life, there is hope. What is hope? According to Webster, to cherish a desire with anticipation, to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment, and to expect with confidence. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 25 it says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance." Looking around the world today, you might agree and come to the conclusion that there's not much room for hope. Wars, crime, abuse, pornography, and the rest of the horrors of modern life can leave this feeling that there is no hope for the future. I wanted to share with you this morning and let you know that there is reason for hope. And that's what I entitled this message, Living in Absolute Hope. Who are the people who possess this hope? Paul calls them my beloved brethren. And is referring to the children of God, not just the believers at Corinth, but the saints of all ages. He is talking to you and me. We, those who are born again, are the people of hope. They are a people delivered by grace. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 11 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand." And then in verse 11 he says, "Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed." So these people that possess this great hope are people who believe the gospel message. Do you have this hope today? You can. If you've read the scriptures, you should have this hope. I wanted to share with you a few verses of hope this morning. These are a couple of my favorite. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." That's something to hope for, isn't it? John 14:1-3, you could repeat this one with me, no doubt. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There's great hope in that verse. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away." Really can't wait for that day. These are just a few samples of the verses in God's word that give me hope, and they can do the same for you if you'll trust in the Lord. In our scripture reading this morning, verse 58 starts out with the word, "therefore." And that draws our minds back to all that Paul has said earlier in chapter 15. He is telling us that the hope we possess is a motivator to spiritual action for God's glory. Can you remember when you first came into the church and heard the message that Christ died for you? What a motivator that was. You wanted to tell everybody, your parents, your family, your everybody you came in contact with, because it's such good news. Being saved means we are to get to work for God's glory. Knowing the truth about God and salvation is a powerful motivator for service. You see, belief always affects behavior. Believing the right thing about Jesus and about the future will cause us to get busy for God's glory. We are to be firm in our personal convictions, not wavering, not jumping around when somebody says something else. We say, "Oh, yeah," and then we go somewhere else and they say this, they change something different, and you say, "Oh, yeah." You're supposed to be firm in your convictions, and you can only do that by studying the Word of God. The bottom line is this: if we have no hope of the future, we might waver in our faith and be drawn by the enticements of this world. I asked the pastor one time, we've had several ministers here over the years who have left the church down the road. I mean, when they were here, they were good ministers, faithful pastors, and then we hear about them 15, 20 years later, and they've left the church. And I asked the pastor, I said, "What would cause someone to do that after all that study, after all that time in God's Word?" And he said, "People neglect prayer, and they neglect the study of the Bible." So we have to stay connected to Christ, or we too could be lured away. Hope counsels us to be stubborn. In verse 58, the word "unmovable" means cannot be moved from a place, firmly persistent, motionless. I almost didn't add that motionless. We don't want people to be motionless, but we want them to be firm. There are many times when stubbornness is not appropriate, but in the Lord's work, a good dose of determination goes a long way. And we need to allow nothing to distract us from our steadfast determination to serve the Lord. Sometimes people get off track. Sometimes you're influenced by friends. Sometimes you're influenced by family. We need to be determined when we make a commitment to God that we hold that commitment. Hope challenges to abundant service. The word abounding suggests exceeding a fixed amount or overflowing. When we consider what we have, eternal life, and who we are by grace, the children of God, we will be motivated to go all out for the Lord. According to Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8, he showers his grace on us when he saves us. The least we can do is let our service for him overflow towards others. If this life is all there is, if there is no hope of eternity and no possibility of a resurrection, if all we have to look forward to is the grave, then we have real reason to despair. This is what Paul says in chapter 15, verses 13 through 19. But so Paul sets forth the blessed truth that there was a resurrection, that Jesus did rise from the grave, and there is hope for those who have faith in him. Our hope should give us confidence. Paul tells us that we know that our work for Jesus matters. There is no sacrifice, no struggle, and no self-denial too great. To work for God means that everything you do goes unnoticed. Not unnoticed, I'm sorry. Angels record every movement that we make and every word that comes out of our mouth. So God knows when you're in service for him. So keep praying, keep serving, and keep living for Jesus. What you do for him in his name is not in vain. That is, it is not a waste of time. It is not an exercise in futility. Revelation 22:12 tells us one day we will be rewarded for our faithfulness. Our hope gives us peace of mind and confidence in our Savior. Sometimes the road we walk is hard. Sometimes the burden we bear are heavy. And sometimes the work we're called to do seems endless and unrewarding. Paul offers the assurance that we work in the Lord. I think today we are truly blessed. We may not have the problems that plagued Corinth, but I'm sure someone today who's listening to this message is losing hope. I'm also sure that there are those listening who could do more for Jesus if they really wanted to. Are you a person of hope? Are you walking in the power of Christ and doing all you can to serve the Lord? Are you resting in your hope, knowing that one day soon Jesus will reward you for all the things that you've done? If he is speaking to you about something you are doing, something you are not doing, or something you need to be doing, the altar is the place to be. We need to drop to our knees and ask God to guide us on our Christian walk. We are never alone when we have Christ. I have another story I wanted to share with you. During the Second World War, an aircraft carrier was out in the North Atlantic. As it was engaged in war, its six pilots took off the carrier to scout out some enemy submarines. While these pilots were gone, the captain of the ship issued an alarm. The button was pushed and every light on the ship was extinguished. Eventually, these pilots started to come back home to the mother ship and realized that she was down there somewhere, although they could not find her. They radioed the ship, "Give us light." The radio operator on the ship radioed back, "Ordered blackout." "Can't give you light." Another pilot picked up his radio and said, "Just give us some light and we'll make it." And the radio operator said, "Nope." No light. The third pilot picked up his radio and he said, "Just one light and we'll land." The operator could do no more. He reached over, turned the switch, and broke radio contact. This morning, I thank God for hope. But hope is not the end of the matter. Hope is the starting point. People in our towns, people in our neighborhoods, and people on our own streets are walking around in darkness with no light to guide them, just like the pilots in the story. Others are going down to the grave without any hope, and you might be just the one that could make a difference. In testimonies to ministers, page 486, it says, "A religious education is greatly needed by all who act a part to work for Jesus Christ. They are to be laborers together with God, engaged in a sacred, solemn work. Each is to have an individual experience in being taught by the great teacher, an individual communion with God. There is to be imparted a new life, and that life is to be nourished by the Holy Spirit. When there is a spiritual union with the Lord Jesus, he will move and impress the heart. He will lead, and in the life, there will be a growth of fellowship with Christ." And then she says, "Christ is our only hope." Robert Brought said, "If you knew that hope and despair were paths to the same destination, which would you choose?" This morning I'd like to close with a song of hope, page 478. "As we too hope that one day soon we will be winging our way to heaven."